This is a recording of an interview with Mrs. Clara Dan in Oak Park, Michigan on July 1st. My name is Kay Roth and I'm the interviewer. Would you tell me something about the town you're from and when you were born?
Now listen, I was born July 19, 1921, in Târgu Mureș.
Would you spell
Romanian?
That?
Well, I tell you, in Hungarian, it is Marosvásárhely. Okay? It really, if you want me to spell it, it's capital TG. Mm-hmm. Apostrophe. Capital MURES. And in fact, people tease me that I come from the same place as Dracula comes, because Dracula is from Transylvania. So anyway, it's a fairly, I really don't know the population of the town where I come from, but it's changed hands between the Hungarian and the Romanians. So I have Romanian upbringing, Romanian schooling, all the way. And I was born there, raised there.
What year were you born?
1921. And I lived there till we were taken in the labor camp first in Târgu Mureș, which was called, you want me to tell it in Hungarian how it's called?
Sure.
It was called the Tiglagyár. It's a factory where they made brick. And we stayed there for about a few weeks. I really don't remember exactly how many weeks, but we got into Auschwitz May the 27 or 29, 1944. I was there with my sister.
At the labor camp?
Yes. With my sister and the rest of my family, because as I told you, I lost my father as a 14-year-old child and my mother 2 months before the concentration camp.
They died at home?
Yes.
How many people were in your family? I mean, your immediate family?
Taken to camp
at home.
Three kids and three children and my mother and father.
All girls?
Two girls and one boy.
And what were you the oldest?
I was the youngest one. And my brother was taken in the labor camp in 1941. He was married and lived in Kolozsvár, in Cluj. And that's where my husband comes from. And he was taken into labor camp and out to Russia. And he left his wife, two little children at home. And this was in 1941 when my brother was taken, right? And my sister-in-law with her family from Kolozsvár were taken into labor camp after we were taken, but we were not in the same place, so I really didn't know anything what happened with his family. And all I know is that after we were liberated, which was 45, April 15, in Bergen-Belsen.
That was April 15th, 1945.
I heard that my brother is still living in Russia. And I was in different concentration camps with my sister. from Auschwitz. As I told you, the 27th or 29th of May, we were taken into Auschwitz, okay? And I was in Auschwitz, this was 44, and I was in Auschwitz till the last group of people. Group of people taken from Auschwitz, Birkenau, before the Russians came in. And from there I went to, well, I went through hell like all the rest.
Well, maybe I can start. We can. Mm-hmm. I can ask you questions,
absolutely,
and we'll see if mm-hmm. we can follow mm-hmm. through. Let me get some more information,
yes,
about your home life. Mm-hmm. What kind of education did you have? I mean, were you in?
I majored in music. I'm a piano major, and I had high school graduation, and from high school I went to the Conservatory of Music, and while I was taking lessons, I tutored young children whom I got from my own teacher. And I was, besides the conservatory, I had private lessons, because I was getting ready to be accepted to the academy.
Were you, was all your education in the public schools, or did you have Jewish education?
No. I had private Jewish education. I went to public school. And my sister went to private schools. And now I had all the way. The music school was private, because mm-hmm. The conservatory was a state-funded place. But then I had private lessons, because I was getting ready to be accepted to the Franz Liszt Academy, but then it came the numerus clausus. I'm sure you know, you people know. It meant that I think it was 6% for Jews. So I was rejected, and then I was able to maybe to be accepted to a smaller academy, a private in Budapest. But I never made it, because I was taken in the concentration camp. And yes, so, and I have a sister who's still teaching, lives in Israel.
Also music?
Music.
Was music everybody in your family interested?
No, not really. No, really, just I had wonderful parents.
Was it a religious family? Did you have a...
Absolutely. My father was the president of the Orthodox, because in Romania you had three different religions. You had the Sephardic, you had the Orthodox, and you had the Reform. So we were Orthodox, which meant the men sat downstairs and the women upstairs. And my father was one of the presidents of that shul, and my whole family. And I had private tutor for Jewish education.
aside from when you couldn't get into the academy because you were Jewish, were there other, did you have other anti-Semitic problems before?
Yes. Well, anti-Semitic problems, of course, we had the star, the Jewish star we had to wear, and the schooling, I was already, don't forget, I was already in the conservatory at that time, okay? Because I was 21 when I was taken in the concentration camp. And you graduate at 18, the high school. And you always heard the anti-Semitic remarks. And the Hungarians were anti-Semitic, the Romanians, it was the Iron Guard, which was one of the Romanians. And it wasn't to save the last. Oh, especially, let me see, when, mainly when the Hungarian came in. That's when it really was hell. I remember it was the last Pesach, and my mother was died. My mother died because we lost her in January. And at that time it started already that you had to darken the rooms at night. No light should
blackout.
The blackout. And we couldn't, we usually, after we lost my mother, for Shabbos and for holidays, we went to my uncle because I had family in the same town. And my sister and me went to my uncle. My brother was living already in Kolozsvár and married. So, come Pesach, we couldn't go, because the air was very, very sticky. By this I mean the Hungarians really made them know that they are there. And we had some friends, one of my little girl I used to tutor or teach piano, who had mixed marriage in his family, and he wanted to get gender papers for us, but it was called area paper. It was written A-R-I-E. This was fake. This would have been fake papers. And they told us we shouldn't worry because we won't get hurt. They will try and get us, my sister and myself, these papers, which meant that we wouldn't be taken in labor camp. Because at that time we heard already that there were labor camps in different parts of Hungary. But we kept telling between us that this just couldn't happen to us. It's such a beautiful town and people, and we grew up here and we were born here and our roots are here. Who would take us out from our homes? It is impossible in the 20th century just to take people out. That's impossible. So Pesach came, and my uncle came down and told us, you girls have to stay in tonight because we've been hearing rumors that it's getting rough. You have to know that, or I have to mention that my uncle and another, two of my uncles were the liaison between the shul, the Jewish people in our community, and the Hungarians.
So they were
the Nazis.
They were like head of the Jewish community, or
well, they were head, but they were very well-to-do people, and they picked these two people. That, for instance, in the meantime, they had meetings. We didn't know about this because my uncle didn't tell us. I was a kid, my sister was older, but they didn't tell us that they were talking that for ransom, the Jews could be saved in our small city, which was known as a university city, really. And by this, I mean money, jewelry, gold, silver, paintings, Persian rugs. So they started collecting these things because they were promised that if they have enough of this, they might be able to exchange lives. And by having these connections, I had my grandmother living from my mother's side, who was an 82-year-old, young-spirited, lovable woman. So they promised for my grandmother that they will not let them go. If anything happens to everybody, but my grandmother would be safe, would be put in a house, in a private home, and taken care of for what the family paid, a fortune. So
this was your uncle, was your mother's brother?
No, that was, his wife was my mother's sister.
So this grandmother was from both families?
Yes, from both. But everything came so sudden. This was at night, in the afternoon when my uncle came down. And early in the morning, we heard knocks on the door. And the Hungarian soldiers were collecting already the Jews. They gave us about half an hour to get together what we can, because we will be taken to this brick factory, what I mentioned.
The Nazis hadn't taken
these
off.
Were Hungarian Nazis.
But they
this
were German.
Hungarian. No, they were not. They were not Germans. They were Hungarians, but known that as
they were
the
just
Nazis. Absolutely. That's why deep down, I never know whether I hated the Nazis more or these Hungarians, because these were the ones who took us out,
mm-hmm.
Okay, with big feathers.
This was just at Pesach?
This is when it happened, just before around Pesach time,
mm-hmm.
In our hometown. Okay, because everywhere it happened in a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But from all Ardealets called Erdei, from all, there were three places where the Hungarians were taken. This was Kolozsvár, Marosvásárhely, and Vára, bigger cities, okay? Now each of these cities had their own brick factory where they were taken. So we from Marosvásárhely were taken to the brick factory which belonged to Marosvásárhely, okay? And there, when we got there, of course, half an hour we had to get together, but what we get and what we could, and in brick factory, we had tents.
It was, you said before, it was a labor camp, did you?
Well, really and truly, this wasn't, I couldn't call it labor camp.
More like
a
ghetto?
It's more like a ghetto, yes, but it was called the brick factory. You can call it a ghetto, okay? But no homes or no houses or no bricks. It was just called the brick factory, mm-hmm. like a ghetto, but they were tents.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me just go back a second. Mm-hmm. We were talking before about you were taken to the brick factory, but I just want to ask you what you remember about when the war began. Do you remember anything about hearing about the war when it started with Poland and war beginning?
Yes. Sure, we heard. We heard about what the Germans were doing, but we always felt it couldn't happen to us. So we really and truly never believed in it. We knew about Poland. Oh, absolutely. But you see, I grew up already the whole world. I mean, in Romania, they were anti-Semitic people. In Hungary was anti-Semitic people. But at that time, we Jews in Romania, I can talk from my own city. As I told you, I was a child, okay? It was such a long time ago that it's hard to believe that I was a youngster once upon a time. But really and truly when it hit me was when I realized that I can't finish my education because I'm a Jew. That's when it hit me. When the bicycles were taken away because I was a Jew. I had my yellow star. I had to wear my yellow star. And I had to be careful at night because I was a Jew. So, absolutely hit me, sure. And we knew about it. The only thing is that you personally are not in the shoe yourself, you don't have the shoe on, you really live a fairly normal life. Because after a certain time, you get used to your own source. You know that this is what you have to do. For instance, my sister taught already privately piano and in the conservatory. And she had many, many Gentile friends in the conservatory who were teachers. And I was one of the pupils of an old lady whom I adored and I loved. In fact, yeah, so she was Gentile. And she kept telling us, don't worry, nothing is going to happen to you. Because we are professional people, and it cannot happen. Your sister told me, your sister has a contract with the school. They just can't do that. And she was a Gentile from dirt. And our neighbors, please, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. It can't happen, and because we started hearing already stories from Poland, from Germany, okay? But the German Jews were always the most assimilated Jews. And then, in fact, one of our neighbors told us to get our so-called trousseau, because my sister had all the trousseau, Pope chest, what you call it here, okay? It was everything. She had it and I had it then. You know, in Europe, they did embroidery, and my grandmother, may she rest in peace, she did for all her grandchildren, the girls. So they told us, come on, get your hope chest, both of yours, and get a Persian rugs. And we will save it for you. So my sister went and gave the hope chest to this neighbor of ours, and the Persian rugs, and the jewelry was given to this couple who promised us papers, because he and his family had already mixed marriages, which if they would get into a ghetto would have white, they would have to wear a white ribbon, because that was the sign of a mixed married couple.
Both people had to?
No.
Just the
non-Jew had to wear, I don't know whether you heard it or not, so
no.
Far. So even the soldiers who went into labor camp were taken, the half Jews or who converted, and they had to have the white ribbon.
So converted Jews were
taken, mm-hmm. But then some of them were lucky and were taken out. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them, they were called the white ribbon soldiers. And these people told me, don't worry, just bring your jewelry. So sure enough, our jewelry went to them, and the hope chest and the Persian rugs went to our neighbor. So it ended up that when we went back after, I'm talking after, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor became pretty anti-Semitic. We didn't get nothing back from them. But from the other couple, we got the jewelry back.
The ones that were going to try to get you papers?
Yes, we got the jewelry back. So we still, after we got back from the concentration camp, we still wanted to believe that the world changed.
For the better?
For the better. And really and truly, we are such liberal-minded people. That's how I was brought up. There was no difference as far as my mother was concerned. The only thing I wasn't allowed to eat pork. That was okay. But for instance, we were invited to this neighbor of ours' Christmas tree trimming, helping. They were in our house for Hanukkah, for latkes.
Similar to here.
Okay, but you know what? I really don't think that the American people are so liberal-minded. Okay? As we were.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you have neighborhoods, Jewish neighborhood, okay?
And you didn't live in like a...
And we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that is till I didn't come here. Really?
Mm-hmm. So everybody, the Jews were living among...
All together. We had the Jewish school, like the Hillel, which was a private school. Then we had private schools, and we had state-funded schools. We had boys' schools and girls' schools. I, for instance, went to a girls' school, okay?
But it was a secular school.
It was mixed.
Mm-hmm.
It was natural. We didn't make an issue. Come the holiday, come Shabbos, it was a natural thing that the store was closed. That's how I grew up. My own daughter had Gentile friends. Shirley went to help Janice trim the Christmas tree. Janice, they exchanged gifts. Shirley gave her gift on Christmas. She got her gift on Hanukkah.
So your lifestyle wasn't
entirely
isolated.
No. Absolutely. That's why when we were already in the concentration camp, we were such cowards. So afraid that I learned over there that I just can't speak my mind because I'm a Jew. This is when it started after the Hungarians came into my hometown. I can't, because if I speak, I will be taken to the police station, interrogated, beaten up. My uncle, my two uncles, who were really the liaison, as I mentioned to you, when we got in the ghetto, they were beaten because they didn't believe them, that they told them the truth.
What were their names, your two uncles, who were the leaders?
Weiss and Abraham. His son and his daughter are out in Israel, my two cousins. And, you know, it was an entirely different world for me. That's why after the concentration camp, after the liberation, I thought that the world is mine, the world is ours, because we went through hell. Who is going to make an issue about my religion? What difference does it make? The first sign, what we saw, that it stuck to our mind. I was married to my husband, okay, and we went back to Romania.
This is after?
After, because I had an aunt who came back from the concentration. This Mrs. Weiss, the old lady, came back from the concentration camp.
The husband's wife.
Mm-hmm. Came back, the husband's wife and two children came back from the concentration camp, and we found out about this, and well, that part is another long story. And we went back. We got married. I wanted my aunt to be it. Give me away. And we went back, and we went on our honeymoon to Bucharest. And my husband had a car. And going up in the mountains, which is a beautiful, beautiful place, some Russian soldiers stopped us. And my husband said to me, you know, why would they stop us? They are Russians, not Jews. What difference does it make? And they stopped us. And my husband had a watch, and I had a watch, and had a ring. And they told him in Russian to give me your watch, yours and your wife, and whatever you have. So my husband said to him in Romania, what do you want? I'm a Jew. I just got out from the labor camp. My wife just got out from the concentration camp. What do you want from us? And then he said, well, you give me your jewelry or I kill you. You got them Jew. Okay? That was the first sign that, oh my God, come on, there it goes again? So, and they kept telling that freedom of speech and so on and so forth, okay, but that left something in our mind, but still not enough. So we shouldn't go live there, okay? But then my husband having two brothers here, we wanted to come to America. And for that we had to go to Germany, back to Germany. We went back to Germany. And we signed up for the Romanian quota, which was very, very small. And we lived there for 4 years.
In a camp?
No, or just no, as private. No, as private. As private.
Let's go back to when you said you were taken to the brick factory, so mm-hmm. we can do this chronologically. How long were you there in that place?
In the brick factory?
Yeah.
I think we were there a few weeks. I couldn't tell you. I don't remember exactly how many weeks.
But you did. They didn't have you doing anything? Were you
Oh no. The men were interrogated. And the family stayed together.
You were with your aunts and uncles?
Yes. Yes. And my sister. The men were interrogated and beaten.
By the Hungarians?
Yeah. Because they didn't believe them. They wanted money and jewelry and whatever they could get out, because by that time we didn't have anything. We left the house. Nothing, absolutely. And we had a store in front of the house, okay? And we had a man who managed the store, a couple. And they used to bring us food.
To the brick factory?
To the brick factory. And they told us not to worry because they are going to watch for the house. And whenever they can, they will come and bring us food. But they don't like to see Gentile getting mixed up or helping Jews.
The government doesn't?
The government, yes. So that was the end of it.
So they didn't come back again?
We were taken away just as suddenly.
From
the ghetto, as suddenly as we were brought in. And we were already in the train. In the train. And we were told that we are going to Kenyir Masil, to labor camp, no concentration camp. And we were already in the train, and we still didn't believe what happened. We couldn't, seeing that mess, what was in the train, the hysteria, and no water, no nothing, and we still didn't believe it, but then we were already under the Nazis, okay? The Germans.
The trains were under the Germans.
Yes. And you know, all what you heard was for Fluchtjuden. And we had no idea where we were going. Absolutely no idea till one morning we got to a place and we saw Arbeit macht Freiheit. And you know, the funniest thing is that some of those darn Germans, Polish, you know, because by this time the Polish people were already, some of them, in Auschwitz. And I'll never forget a short little old man kept yelling, "Leave the little ones, leave the little ones, don't drag with you, the young mothers, but to leave the little ones alone, don't drag with you. You drag the kids will be put in the gas chamber just like you, leave the little ones."
He was saying
that? Yes, but we still didn't know what that meant or what.
He was a cop?
No, he was just a Polish prisoner working where the transports got in, you know. You had to get undressed and you could see mountains and mountains of eyeglasses and shoes and clothes, because when you got there, you know, you were lined up to be taken in the left and right and to be taken in to take a bath, and you got that striped uniform and your hair was shaved and you came out from there and nobody was there. You were on your own. I was lucky. I found my sister
Were you on the train together?
Yes. Yes. We were on the train together, but not on the train together. After getting the uniform, okay? Coming out from called the Entlausung, if I remember the expression of that bath or shower. I found my sister, but her hair was shaved, mine was shaved. So, and found my two aunts, my three aunts, and my cousins. And it was a very painful sight. I don't have to tell you. It was very, very, very painful. And there was this one girl from my hometown, a very beautiful young girl, Jewish girl, who used to work for a drugstore. And I'll never forget it as long as I live, standing in the line to be selected. Mengele. And a doctor came. And the German Auserin, whose name was Grace, I'm sure you heard about her, started selecting. And he recognized this girl. So it ended that this doctor was a top salesman or somebody from the Bayer factory, Bayer aspirin. And he took this girl out. She lived with the Germans, with the German Auserins. And she became the rottenest person. At the end, she couldn't even go back to her own hometown because she would have gotten killed the way she behaved.
Her whole personality changed some.
And we kept telling her, one of her cousins was a friend of my sister's. And one day, I went to her, this was already in Auschwitz. I was in the sea lager, which was called a Vernichtungslager.
What does that mean?
From where they were taken for a crematorium, we called it filling for the crematorium.
Mm.
Okay? And one day her cousin was very, very sick. And we needed a couple of aspirins. So I went to Eva, that was her name. And somehow, you know, she was dressed so clean, so spotless. Burgundy boots, pleated skirt, white blouse, you know. She was a very pretty girl. And I went to her and I told her that her cousin's name was Zita. She is very sick. And we need at least two aspirin to try and bring her fever down. We haven't got anything. And if you would please, just for your own cousin, give us a few aspirins. We should have some. She said, let her die. I will not jeopardize my well-being. And she wouldn't give her. And as time went on, she was a very sick girl, so we went again to her for some medication. So she made again the same remark, and by that time, you know, I was so furious at her. I told her, I just wish your mother or father, her father was a lawyer, your mother or father would see that you go to bed with their murderer, with the killer. I hope when you are in bed with him, you think what he did to your mother and father and what they are doing to us. I hope you drop dead.